You're listening to the Evangel Wichita podcast, recorded live each week at Evangel Assembly of God in Wichita, Kansas. Download each week for fresh, relevant messages from the preaching team. Open your minds. Here we go.
And we've been talking about giving. About giving. And giving is such a big topic. It's a broad topic. It's really, really big. We could talk about a lot of things in the area of giving. We can talk about giving of time. We can talk about giving of talents and different things like that. But we've narrowed it down over these last several weeks and talked about the specific area of giving, which is in our finances. How should we treat our finances? What should we do in our area of finances? How should we handle money? How should we do those types of things? And the interesting thing that I've said to you over the last several weeks is that there seems to be a disconnect, and I don't know why over the years this has become, but people may say, I've decided to follow Jesus. I've made that commitment to follow God, but I want to leave my money out of it. I want to follow God with this part of my life, but I don't want you to talk about money at all. I don't want you to bring up my finances because that's a separate area. I really don't want to talk about that. I keep those two areas separate. And as I read through Scripture, it doesn't seem to work that way. I believe that that's why Jesus talked about giving, money, stewardship, so much. And I said over and over again that 15% of his teachings, as we read through the New Testament, were on this area of our finances and our money more than heaven and hell combined. Why? Because Jesus knew that this was going to be an area that would be difficult for Christ followers to obey God, that this was going to be an area that we needed help in. And the big question comes and the big problem comes that even after going through this teaching, and this is week number 5 of this whole thing, even after we're finished with this, there are some of you still that will claim to follow Christ and think that the things we're talking about are still optional. And it's a struggle. That's why he talked about it. That's why he talked about it. We are faced with decisions every day regarding our finances, regarding our money. We are faced with decisions all the times. I mean, just think about how many times you thought about this question this past week. Can we afford that? Well, should we get that? Or can we really afford buying that right now? Can we really afford to do that with our money right now? Can we really afford to give our money that way? I mean, there are people everywhere. There are companies all over the place, right, that want you to give them their money. The mortgage company wants their money. I think they want it every month, don't they? Or the rent, you know. They want it every month. It's not a question. Well, maybe this month you don't have to give it. Maybe next month, nah, not so much. No, they want it, right? Your cell phone company wants your money, even when your calls drop all the time. They still want their money every month. They want that money from you. And different places, you go around. If you have kids, you know they want money every day. You can't get away from it. According to the American Psychological Association, listen to this, 71% of Americans report that money is a significant source of stress. 71% of Americans report that money is a significant part of their stress. That's why we're stopping in this series. That's why we're talking about these priorities. That's why we want to talk about first things first, living the life God designed. We want to look because if you take the wrong approach or you get things out of order, the money that you have, the possessions that you have can ultimately ruin your life. It can cause more stress. It can cause more issues. Now look, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, I told you to turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 6, let me show you something that Paul is instructing Timothy in. Right? He's talking about this, and these are verses you've probably read before, you may have read before, but let's look at these again. Verse 9. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Destruction. That's verse 9, right? Those who want to get rich fall into temptation. That's a problem. And a trap, right? And it says, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people, right? That's not good. The ruin and destruction. These are not good things. And then verse 10, for the love of money, right? The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, look at this, eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. I'm like, they've wandered from the faith. They've pierced themselves with many types of grief. This is not good. This is not a good thing. So we have to talk about this. We have to look at what the Bible says. We have to find out what the principles that are laid out here in Scripture so we don't get into that area of our life, right? So we don't fall into those areas that we just read about in Timothy. So here's the big idea. The big picture that we've talked about in this whole thing is that everything begins with my attitude in my heart. It all begins with my heart. That God ultimately is about, he's after my heart. And we need to have the right attitude in our heart when we begin to look at our finances and all these different types of things. When we look at our relationship with God, we need to have the right attitude in our heart. And we found out that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. So God knows he's after your heart, ultimately. The big picture about this whole thing is not about the money anyway. It's about your heart. Because that's where God is looking. In the last few weeks, we've talked about different things, and I've drawn this, and I'm going to try it again this week. But we've been working with a triangle, right? It's this geometrical shape of a triangle. And we said this is kind of the order that God has placed in our life. And I kind of divided it in three different areas here. And we started the first time, after we talked about this from our heart, we said the first step, the foundational principle in this is obedience. Okay? We've looked at it's obedience. The first step in all of these things, as we look at our money, as we look at these principles, it's obedience. And we looked at scripture. We talked about the principle of firsts, that, you know, God has to be first. It's the preeminence of God, that no matter what you say, no matter what you do, God is always first because he's incapable of being second. So he's saying, I want it first. So he's saying, you worship me with your first fruits, your firstborn. We talked about that in the Bible. We said, we have to put our tithe first. That's what we said. And tithe simply means a tenth or 10%. So we said, okay, the first level, if we want to know the principles of how God has laid out this thing of money, is we have to be obedient. We have to be obedient. And here's what I found, that when I get to this place of being obedient, what I'm really doing is I'm embracing that God is Lord. I'm embracing his lordship, that he is over everything. That I even use this word, that I am a steward and it's all his. So if I step into this obedience section of the triangle, I am saying that God, you are Lord. I'm embracing your lordship. I'm embracing your lordship. By walking in obedience, I'm embracing the lordship of God. I'm embracing that he is everything. That he's everything. So we have to start there. We have to start with obedience. You see, you choose every time you get paid where you're going to worship. You choose. And God said, I want to be first. I want to be first. I want to be first. I want to be first with your worship. Not just with your mouth and lifting your hands, but I'm going to be first in your pocketbook. That you'll give back to me 10%. You can have the 90% to do whatever you need to do with it, but I want to be first. And Crystal and I have really made this a priority, and I shared that with you, that we want to put God first, and I want to make it a priority. God convicted me in this area of my life. I want to be first. I mean, don't get legalistic with me. Don't run that far on me. But he said, Mark, you've been faithful, and you've never missed giving me the tithe. But is it really first? And I had to start saying, Lord, every time I see increase, I'm going to give back to you. Every time. Every time. You know what? I have fun with it too. I've been using the app to give. I even last night gave through text to give because I was at home and Crystal said, hey, we sold this bed. We need to give our increase or give the tithe back to church. I said, hey, watch this. Give, space, number, boom. And it worked. It was that fast. So I have fun giving back anyway, right? But I've decided that it's going to be first. I'm embracing the lordship of God in my life. That he is first. That he is the Lord. He is everything. See, I don't have any other choice. If I claim to follow Christ, if I claim that he is the Lord of my life, I'm either obeying or I'm robbing from God. It's tough. I figured there'd be a lot of amens there. Okay, so it all comes from God. Obedience. We're stewards. And I said, you know what comes here? Is that ultimately through obedience we find the peace. We find peace. Now, we moved into the second level, and we talked about this last week. It's called generosity or generous. That the second level of giving The second place, you can't be generous until you're obedient. You can't skip this and go here. The culture says you can go here first, but you can't skip this and move here. That generosity is our second place. That's when we stop saying, what am I required to give? We move into, how much can I give? Like, Lord, above and beyond what you said here, how else can I give? When you say give, how else can I be generous? Where else can I help? What else can I do? And what's happening here is I found that am I embracing the Lordship of God there? Here, I am embracing worship. That when I'm generous with God, it's my worship back to Him. That I'm saying, God, you know what? You have put me as a steward over all these resources, and I want to worship you by giving back, by helping where I can help, by being a blessing where I can be a blessing. I mean, we talked about, we read that amazing story where the children of Israel were so generous building a tabernacle that Moses had to stand up and say, stop bringing the money. We have too much. We have enough, right? It's in Exodus. We read that story last week. Stop bringing it. What would it be like if the children of God were obedient and then moved past generosity where a pastor had to stand up and say, stop bringing the money. We have too much. We have too many resources. We're trying to get all these things done. It's generosity. It moves from what do I have to give to how much can I give. And here's what this brings. Not only peace comes from the first level, but joy comes from being generous. Joy comes. Some of you are struggling with this idea of joy. Some of you have been struggling with this idea of not feeling the joy of Christ. And I'm telling you that you move into this level of generosity, you will experience the joy. And some of you have. Last week we gave you this generosity challenge. We gave you an envelope. You had random amounts of money in it with a card that says, be creatively generous to someone this week. Share your stories. And the stories have started to come in. Can I just read a couple? That the joy that came from some of these things. Here's one. I was chatting with a single mom today about how hectic life can be. Handed her the $15 and said, don't cook tonight, go get a pizza. Another one. Just wanted to share that my daughter and I combined the money we were given on Sunday and added some more to it to purchase McDonald's gift cards. We made bags with a water bottle, granola bars, gift cards, and a gospel pamphlet to give when we are out and about and see someone with a sign indicating they are homeless or in need. I had someone say, we took part of our money and decided to pay it forward at the McDonald's drive-thru. We loved it so much that we've done it again since then, and we plan to make it a weekly habit in our family. Of paying it forward in our family. I had someone else message me this past week and say, you know what? I was driving home thinking about how I could creatively do something with this money. And I thought, it's not my money. They gave it to me. I can be creative. I can be generous with it. And then it hit me that this is the attitude that I should have towards my money every week. That this it's all from God. And I said, that's the principle. Yes, we want to be generous because I'm telling you, joy. These families that have come together and said, we're going to make it a weekly habit of our family. It's bringing joy. Amen. Because we're being generous. We're being generous. So, we embrace worship there. Last area of our triangle. What happens when you move all the way to the top? This is the area that we're going to call sacrifice. This is the area we're going to call sacrifice. And I would say that sadly, this is an area that we don't see as often in America today. The top level of the triangle, I would say, in our culture, in our country today, is the area that we see the least. And this is what I would say. That I would say we embrace the Lordship. We would embrace worship. Can I say here that we would embrace the cross? We'd embrace suffering. Those are not easy things. Let me explain. This is where, in this area, this top part of the triangle is where we become the most Christ-like. The hardest place to get through, right? It's like the place but think about our lives here in America. Think about our lives in the culture here. We are rich, spoiled, often feel very entitled to what we don't have. The comforts of life are our rights as Americans, right? These are rights. I should have strong Wi-Fi signal everywhere I go. That's my right as an American. I believe that's in the Constitution. So, but we have these ideas as Americans that these are our rights. And I can think back to all the trips I take with men when we go on MAPS trips every year and we talk about these things, is that the first thing that they experience, a lot of times when we, especially when we go to Central America and places like that, is they experience a culture shock. They're brought face to face with people who truly sacrifice in life. They're brought face to face with people who have a very genuine love and passion for Jesus without the strong Wi-Fi signal that they should have. Without all the comforts that we believe we need to have, we see it in their faces. And all the trips that I've taken with students as well over the many years that I was a youth pastor, I would try to prepare them for the culture shock. It's different when you go there. And it changes our perspective. It changes our perspective. Look at Paul shows us in Philippians chapter 2. It'll be on the screens. It's in your notes as well. He calls us to the sacrificial way of living. Look at this. Verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value, look at this, others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Now, I would think that we can agree that what he says right here is a pretty high standard of living. Yeah? What you see right there. He's saying that we should think of others first, think of me last. But do you understand that Paul has the gall to continue writing after that? Do you understand that as we continue to read in these verses, he has the nerve to even raise the standard higher than what we just read? He says that our attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. Well, you don't believe me? Keep going. Look, verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, wouldn't you agree that that is a sacrifice? And Paul is saying that is the example that we have to follow. Come on. Luke writes in 9:23, he writes the words of Jesus. He says this, whoever wants to be my disciple, this is Jesus, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Look, I talked to my Sunday school class a few weeks ago. We talked about this idea of taking up our cross. And we read the phrase, they must take up their cross. We read it very effortlessly. We read right over it because we often read it figuratively. Figuratively. So we read that verse, take up my cross, figuratively, and so we read right over it and don't think much of it. But let me give you some perspective. And maybe, if you look at this literally here, it may change your perspective. Let me share something with you, make it more literal. It is estimated that a Roman cross weighed 300 pounds. Estimated, 300 pounds. Now, even if Jesus only carried the crossbar, right, you can guesstimate how much just that weighed. And it was placed upon the shoulder of a man whose flesh was so raw and open from the beatings that he had just taken, the torture that he had just been through. It was placed on that shoulder, and he carried that cross, if only the crossbar, no less than 650 yards. 650 yards. It's football day, right? How long is the football field? 100 and some change. So you go 650 yards. take up your cross. We read right over that. But that's what he did. That's sacrifice. And here we're reading, we're to take the same attitude as Christ. The dictionary defines sacrifice as this. It says this: the surrender or destruction of something prized or desirable for the sake of something considered as having a higher or more pressing claim. That's the dictionary definition. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. We just read that. Jesus gave up heaven for earth for the sake of a higher calling. To bring salvation to you, to bring salvation to me. He carried not just a 300-pound cross, but he carried the weight of the world. Every offense that was ever committed was placed on his shoulders, and he carried it all the way to Calvary. So here's the question. When we get to this top level called sacrifice, how are we doing in having that same attitude of sacrifice? How are we doing today? have we changed the definition of sacrifice in our culture and our lives today to fit into our everyday life? Well, yeah, I sacrifice. I think we have. I think often we change the definition of sacrifice to fit who we are and what we do. And in fact, let me show you how we've redefined the word sacrifice and fit in our lives. And you can write these down. Number one, we've redefined sacrifice to mean something like this: to do without something I want. That sacrifice is to do without something I want. For example, I really want that new car. I'm going to sacrifice buying that new car. Or I really want those new clothes. I really want the new iPhone. I'm going to sacrifice buying that new iPhone. I'll give that money to someone who needs it instead of buying that new car today. But the question becomes, is that really sacrifice? Or is it just a different way that we decide to live? Is that being generous, maybe? But is that truly embracing the cross? Number two, we've redefined sacrifice to mean something like this: not only to do without something I want, but we've redefined sacrifice to mean delaying something I want. Well, I can't take that trip to Hawaii right now because I need to finish paying my missions pledge that I have the rest of this year, but that's a sacrifice. But next year comes around, we get extra time off and more money, and it's like, we get to take our trip anyway. Sometimes we redefine sacrifice to mean, I'm just going to delay something I want. I'm going to delay something I want. Number three, we've redefined sacrifice to mean something like this: taking a temporary break from something I enjoy. I'm going to sacrifice Starbucks for 2 weeks to give the money to the church. I'm like, is that really a sacrifice? I'm not sure. That may be healthy. I'm going to sacrifice eating at McDonald's. That's definitely healthy. I'm going to get rid of satellite TV for a year and give all the money away. You know, does that count as a sacrifice? My wife would say that's just wisdom. You know, so we have redefined sacrifice to say taking a break temporarily from something I enjoy. It may be being generous. It may be a good thing. It may be being obedient. God's asked you to do something like that, but is it really sacrifice? Number four, we've redefined sacrifice to mean something like this: inconvenience, uncomfortable. I mean, it's like if you aren't comfortable or if things in life are difficult, then this is sacrifice. If it's inconvenient for you or if you're not comfortable with things, then that's sacrifice. But really, that's not truly sacrifice. And often it's because we really, truly in our lives become uncomfortable with the true definition of sacrifice that we decide that we're going to redefine it so we can avoid dealing with it. That's what we do a lot. I'd rather redefine this word instead of dealing with it. So let me share quickly what sacrifice should look for us today. If we want to embrace the cross, embrace what God has for us, Here's the definition of sacrifice that we need to wrestle with today. Here it is. You ready? Giving up something I need or something I must have so that someone else can have what they need. Giving up something I need or something I must have so that someone else can have what they need. Now, let me tell you a secret. Sacrifice isn't popular. This isn't popular. This part right here. It generosity with the joy, that's great. But when we embrace this definition of sacrifice, this isn't popular anymore. This isn't popular anymore. We don't have a long list of people who are standing at the back signing up for this top part of the triangle. It's usually not in the brochure for the church, right? This isn't in the pictures of all the smiley, happy people. This is why the portion is the smallest. It isn't the fullest. But when people make it to this area and they start operating in this part of the triangle, the stories that you hear and the things that happen in people's lives are the most amazing things that you'll ever hear. I heard a story this past week of someone in our church that was saving, doing the smart thing, saving for something that they wanted. It's a great way to do it, you know, not going to go in debt for this item, and deciding they want to save their money, the money they've collected, put some stuff aside. And they were just at the end and able to purchase the item that they wanted and that they've been saving for, being responsible with their money for, right? And they looked at a post on the Facebook, see what happens when you get there, and someone was putting a need out there. It was a ministry need, and they said, we are in desperate need for this particular item. And it was around the same amount of money that this person had saved up. And they felt the Holy Spirit speak to their heart. You're going to meet that need. And then it goes, all the thoughts go through this person's head. Why did I open Facebook? Why did I do that? I was just about to buy what I wanted. And I looked at Facebook and I see this need. And now the Holy Spirit's telling me that this is what I'm supposed to do. So this person came and said, you know what? I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to buy this thing that they need. Sacrifice what I need. Didn't even know. Didn't have a plan to go get it next year or save up money anymore. Just said, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice what I want for someone else that has a need. And paid for it. That's the definition. Remember the definition? We've given up something I need or something I must have so that someone else can have what they need. Look back at Philippians, our passage. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. You see, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross was an uncommon one. Yes. It was the ultimate sacrifice. We talk about it's the ultimate sacrifice. It's the sacrifice that has led to your opportunity at salvation this morning. It has given you an opportunity for new life. But it doesn't stop there. Look, keep reading Philippians 2:9. It doesn't stop there. Look what else happened because of his sacrifice. Look at verse 9. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. To the glory of God the Father. And listen, here is the principle that I see here. God will respond to uncommon sacrifice with uncommon blessing. Look what happened to Jesus. Uncommon sacrifice with uncommon blessing. Now look, let me give you a warning. Let me give you caution here that as you step into this area, as we look at people who've decided to step into this area of the triangle and have decided to embrace this definition of sacrifice, here's where we often make a mistake. We look at other people as they take these steps of sacrifice and do something and say, you know what, I'm going to give up something so other people can have what they need. We begin to resent or criticize other people's blessing without knowing what they've done to receive it. I said uncommon sacrifice because uncommon blessing. Sometimes all we see is the blessing in people's lives, and we begin to resent and criticize those people for what happens in their life. We have no idea what's going on. And we get to this place where we say, there's no way that can be of God, that blessing they're getting. And we make a foolish judgment without fact. And I would say, don't make that mistake. Don't look at what someone else has decided and say it's not right. You don't know the whole story. You don't know the whole sacrifice. They may have stepped into this top part of the triangle, and you have no idea where the blessing came from. You don't know the whole story. Because I've seen that as I read through Scripture and see church history, that everyone who has accomplished great things for God has paid an extraordinary price. They have sacrificed. They have sacrificed. You won't accomplish great things for God without paying a great price. I wish it was different. I wish there was a different formula for you, but it won't happen that way. That's why it's so small at the triangle at the top. Look, Esther, you look through Scripture. I'll give you examples. Esther risked her life to save her people. Joseph spent years in a dungeon before he led a nation. Many of the disciples and early church leaders were ultimately killed for their role in starting the church. You look at the Apostle Paul, who embraced a lifetime of sacrifice. If you want to be a difference maker, if you want to be a world changer, if you want to be all those things, if you want to make to the top of the triangle, sacrifice is a part of that process. Sacrifice is a part of the process. So the question becomes in Mark, who determines what sacrifice is? Sometimes it's obvious, but other times it's only you that know. Only you know the sacrifice that you're giving, the sacrifice that you're walking in. And I've learned it's not always money that we're truly sacrificing. There's lots of different areas that we can walk in and sacrifice. We're just focusing on money in this series. But you know what's sacrificial for you. You know what God's asking you to do and if it's a sacrifice in your life. And I've also learned this, that there's always an element of fear with every sacrifice. It's like, how are we going to do this together, especially in regard to finances? Obedience says, how much am I required to give? It's a good place to start. How much am I required to give? Every Christian should be obedient. That's who we are. We need to be obedient with what we have. We move to the second level. Generosity asks, how much can I give? How much can I give? What can I do? I don't want to stay at the minimum. I want to go above and beyond for the kingdom. I want to go above and beyond. Sacrifice asks this question, how much can I do without? How much can I do without? Really, God? I mean, we've seen it in different places as you read through Scripture. The New Testament church we've read about has embraced a sacrificial lifestyle, and they launched this institution that's changed the world through Jesus. And I really, really believe that at points in our lives and at points of our church, there will be a spirit of sacrifice. What can I do without because someone else is in need? What can I do without because someone else is in need? And I believe a season of sacrifice will change a person, change a church, will change a city, can change a country. People that have stepped in and said, you know what? What can I do without? Because I want to make this huge impact in the world. I want to make a huge impact. How can I embrace the cross, suffering? Be a steward of what God's given to me? How can we do that? I believe that as you move up this triangle, get to the generous part. God's going to show you ways to be generous. He's going to give you a heart of generosity, that you're going to look for ways to maybe make it a family project to be generous in different places, or you're just going to look for opportunities to be generous as you're being a steward of the money that you have, that God's given you. But then some of you will start praying for, how can I move up into this top level of sacrifice? God, what is it that you have for me? And as you pray about that, you're going to start praying, God, how can I move up this triangle in response to your call? How can I really embrace the cross? What is it that you have for me in regards to my finances? How is it that I need to give? And you're the one that's going to know if it's a sacrifice. You're going to know when it's a sacrifice. As you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, you're going to know. You're going to know. And my prayer for us is that we fill this triangle, that we 100% as followers of Christ, as people who call evangel home, are obedient with our money. First and foremost, that we give it first because God is first. We step beyond it and say, not what am I required to give, but how much can I? And we have a heart of generosity in our lives. That those simple challenges that I gave to you over the last week become habit, become your lifestyle. Like, God, show me opportunities where you open a door to be generous and I can give. And then we pray. What about sacrifice? What about that top level? What is it that I can do without so someone else can have what they need? God, give me a heart to see those areas. To see those areas. Embrace the lordship of God. Embrace the worship through my generosity. Embrace the cross. Embrace suffering through sacrifice. Living the life God designed. You can't get this out of order. You can't get this out of order. Step by step. And you can be who God's called you to be.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. For more great teaching, check us out on the web at evangelwichita.org or connect with us at facebook.com/evangelwichita.